right, guys, welcome to According to Sam. This is episode 204. Thank you so much for tuning in, listening, and watching. We're going to get into this this new bill, or four different bills that are split up in the House of Representatives. If you don't know, if you've been living under a rock, haven't been paying attention to what's been going on over the past 48 hours, the House of Representatives is moving forward with a supplemental means that this is in addition to the $2 trillion that they just passed in the budget a few weeks ago. So $95 billion supplemental. And they're splitting it up into four different bills, and then they're going to bring it together into one bill again before they send it to the Senate. They're going to vote on it tomorrow. $61 billion to Ukraine. I'm not sure what the remainder breaks down to Taiwan and Israel. We've been talking about this for weeks, anticipating this. I told you this was going to happen, and now it is happening, and that's what we'll talk about today. We'll talk about this new supplemental. They're calling it security. Security for who? For who? Not for us. Security for other people, but they don't care about our security, and we're going to talk about that today. There is a portion of this bill that is some new stuff for border security and things like that, but it's going to be separate from the rest of the foreign aid. So we'll see what happens tomorrow. I do believe that Republicans will pass that with the one vote that they have. And that's kind of the issue. That's what I want to start with today, talking about this one seat majority that Republicans have. Now, I understand the situation that Mike Johnson is in. It must be really, really tough to govern with a one seat majority. But why? I don't understand why Republicans have a one seat majority. Well, I do understand. It's really unfortunate. The 2022 race for the House of Representatives, you remember everyone talking about red wave, red wave, and then there wasn't a red wave. The Republicans ended up picking up 9 seats. It's a flip of 9. Yeah, that's what it looks like. 9 seats is what they picked up. But look at the popular vote here. Republicans won the popular vote by 3 million votes, and they end up with 9 seats with 3 million more popular votes. But there's no rhyme to reason to this. If you look at the red wave that Republicans had back in 2010, you'll see here that Republicans won the popular vote by 6 million votes here, but they picked up 63 seats. So that's, 7 times the amounts of seats that they pick up, with double the amount of votes with the popular vote, 6 million votes more in the popular vote, 63 seats here, and 3 million more in the popular vote here, 9 seats. So again, there's no rhyme or reason to it. A lot of good this majority of 63 seats did Republicans with this guy as the speaker, John Boehner. Remember this guy crying? He was at some event honoring Nancy Pelosi, and this guy was crying. I mean, this is what Republicans, I mean, this is what we're dealing with right here, people. This is what we're dealing with right here. So, yes, Republicans in 2010 won 63 seats, a red wave, huge majority. I've explained to you that this was because of the Tea Party and how active the Tea Party was. We need to start organizing like this again for 2026. We need to start organizing right now for 2026 and organizing and recruiting people to run against these Republicans that don't care about you, that don't have your interests at heart, and don't represent you. That's the title that these people have. We live in, people talk about democracy all the time. First of all, we're not a democracy. We're a constitutional republic, but we are a representative democracy. That's the way that our constitutional republic is set up, that we're not a direct democracy, but we send people to Washington to represent us. And if these people are not representing us, then we need to get rid of them. You cannot have this. People like John Boehner. He wasn't in opposition to the Democrats. He was passing their agenda, and he was, you know, pretending to be their opposition. Again, I don't have the clip set up. I wish I did have it set up, but he's at some ceremony for Nancy Pelosi, and he stands up and he starts crying. He starts crying, people. I mean, there is no opposition. So anyway, there's no rhyme to reason to this. This was the blue wave in 2018 when Democrats picked up 41 seats. But look at this. They won the popular vote by 10 million votes. Basically, what happened here, the reason that McCarthy or Speaker Johnson only has a one seat majority and they only won 9 seats with a popular vote win of 3 million votes is because of the 2000 census and the way the districts were drawn after the 2000 census. The districts were not drawn in favor of Republicans after the 2000 census. And it's difficult too, because you had so much migration in the decade between 2010 and 2020. You had so much migration that states like California, Illinois, New York lost congressional districts. There were so many people moving out of California, Illinois, and New York and other states that Texas picked up 2 congressional districts after the 2020 census. Florida picked up. Take a listen to this clip about all of this migration that took place and what that did to the congressional districts. Again, I mean, this should have meant that Republicans should have gotten even more congressional seats because of all of this migration. But again, the districts were not drawn in their favor, and it was difficult for them to know where these people had moved because of all of this migration.
What's going on here? Oh, here it is. 30s. And because of population shifts, well, tonight, the Census Bureau says that in the past decade, the U.S. population grew at the slowest rate since the 1930s. And because of population shifts, Texas will pick up 2 seats in Congress. Florida, North Carolina, Montana, Colorado, and Oregon will each get 1 more. And for the first time, California is losing 1 seat, as are Illinois, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and New York, which, get this, was just 89 people short of keeping all of its seats.
Look at all these liberal hellholes that are losing people moving out of California. That's why Texas picked up two seats, because all these people moving from California to Texas, from New York, moving down to Florida, from Illinois, moving out of Chicago and getting the hell out of there. So that's why these states were losing so much. So again, I bring all that up to say that I understand the predicament that Speaker Johnson is in with a one seat majority. But with a one seat majority, with just one seat more than the Democrats in the House of Representatives, you have power. That's power. You're the Speaker of the House, not a Democrat. All of Republicans are chairs of all of the committees. You decide what comes to the floor and what is voted on. The Republicans who chair the committees decide what comes out of committee with one seat majority. That's power. You don't have enough power to pass our agenda, the people that you're representing. You don't have enough power to pass our agenda because you don't have the Senate. You don't have the White House. We understand that. But you have enough power to block their agenda. You have enough power, Speaker Johnson, to block their agenda. You have that power. And that's why we voted for you in 2022 with a 3 million people, 3 million vote majority. That's why I went to the polls to vote for you, so you could block Joe Biden's agenda. Not so you could green light everything that Joe Biden wants and his entire agenda. It would be better for you to do nothing and just block his agenda and wait for the election to happen, where you hopefully will pick up the Senate. The Senate's favorable for you next year, and it's looking really good that that Trump could win the White House, and then you have more power to pass your agenda then. But you don't just green light everything, every single thing that Johnson is doing is what Joe Biden wants. Every single thing that Johnson is doing is what Joe Biden and the Democrats want. The Democrats are, you turn on MSNBC or the liberal media, they're all praising him, saying how great it is that he found his backbone. Now, I knew that Johnson was going to do this back in December. And the reason that I knew that Johnson was going to do this back in December, I knew what he was going to do, is because I saw this. This article says, Ukrainian delegation meets in Shreveport. This is December 1st, 2023. So this is just before the end of the year. This delegation from Ukraine goes to Shreveport, and they're meeting with business leaders and the leaders there in Shreveport. Okay. I want you to listen to this clip about this delegation from Ukraine that went to Shreveport, Louisiana in December to meet with business leaders and political leaders there in Shreveport.
In Ukraine rages on, and today a delegation from the Ukrainian parliament met in downtown Shreveport to inform the public about the state of the war and how crucial economic investments from American businesses are needed to help rebuild that country. Our Madison Edwards spoke with members of the Ukrainian parliament, and he has more on what they discussed. So what was it, Madison?
Well, Jeff, Louisiana and the Ukraine share similar port exports.
Oh, yeah,
that's why
like
the members of the parliament are asking the local Shreveport citizen to help their cause.
So we share port exports is what this delegation goes to Shreveport to talk about how much we have in common with you, Louisiana, because we share port exports. Well, this is Speaker Johnson's district right here in red. And Speaker Johnson's district is not on a port. These are the ports down here. New Orleans is on a port. Baton Rouge is on a port, which is the capital. But Shreveport's way up here. Shreveport's way up here. Now, Shreveport happens to be the largest city in Speaker Johnson's district, but it's not a port city. I mean, if you're coming to Louisiana to talk about how much you have in common, Ukrainian delegation to come to Louisiana to talk about how much we have in common with the people of Louisiana because we share, ports. And so why not go to the capital in Baton Rouge or to the largest city that's on a port, New Orleans, and meet with the delegation there? Why go up to Shreveport? Huh? It's very interesting. So I saw this in December.
Well, Jeff, Louisiana and the Ukraine share similar port exports. That's why the members of the parliament are asking the local Shreveport citizen to help their cause and for business leaders in the area to invest in the rebuilding of the nation.
Louisiana is a major trading partner of Ukraine, and the Ukrainian delegation met in downtown Shreveport to discuss strengthening ties between the state and Ukraine through business, energy, agriculture, and humanitarian efforts amid the ongoing conflict. Member of Parliament David Arakamiya says Shreveport and Ukraine share similar business exports.
We understand that Shreveport businesses are very similar to Ukrainian because they have a lot of ports, they have a lot of agricultural production, they have oil and gas production.
It's all about the ports, but we're coming up to Shreveport to meet to talk about the ports. No, people, this is the way things are done. And this, when I saw this in December, I knew what Johnson was going to do because these people were showing up into Shreveport, which happens to be the largest city in Johnson's district, and they're there to press the flesh and to organize and to get people in Shreveport to back his cause, to insulate Johnson, to put pressure on Johnson as Speaker of the House, because these are the people that he represents, the people of Shreveport. So they came from Ukraine. They're there to organize so the people in Johnson's district will vote for funding and will support funding for Ukraine. So when I saw this in December, I knew already what he was going to do. Now listen to a little bit of Hakeem Jeffries. Now Hakeem Jeffries is the leader of the Democrats. He's the Democrat leader. And listen to what he says.
Needs of the American people, but it was important for House Democrats to make sure that the national security bills are going to be considered.
See, this is their agenda. This is their agenda. It was important for the Democrats. Okay? Listen.
That the national security bills are going to be considered. I speak with Mike Johnson frequently. We have an open, honest, and communicative relationship. I did not talk to him this morning. We made a decision last evening that we would do what is necessary to provide the votes on the Rules Committee to ensure that the legislation could be heard on the House floor today.
So the Rules Committee. So I was just telling you that even one vote gives you power. So the Democrats are the minority in the Rules Committee, and the Republicans are the majority in the Rules Committee. So before they could get these bills to the floor that are coming to the floor tomorrow, they need to pass them through the Rules Committee. Republicans were blocking them in the Rules Committee. And that's what he says, that we do what we need to be done. So Democrats are going to vote with you to get these out of the Rules Committee. And then, it's just like the budget deal that Speaker Johnson did a few weeks ago. He did it with more Democrat votes than Republican votes. And we'll see tomorrow what happens. I wouldn't be surprised if they get more Democrat votes than Republican votes on every bill except the border bill. So who represents you? Who represents you, people? Listen more.
Made Jeffrey's that here. Decision. It was clear that we would do what was necessary to make sure that the national security legislation was considered by the entire House of Representatives. Go back to this side. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Leader. I don't know if you're aware, but Congressman Paul Gosar has now come out in favor of a motion to vacate, joining Congressman Green's motion to potentially oust the Speaker. Obviously, if all Democrats were to join them, the Speaker could potentially be out. I know when I asked you yesterday about the motion to vacate, you pointed back to your previous statements in February, and at that time you told the New York Times, were Speaker Johnson to do the right thing relative to meeting the significant national security needs of the American people by putting it on the floor for an up or down vote, there will be a reasonable number of people in the House Democratic Caucus who will take the position that he should not fall as a result. Is that still your position?
Yes, it's still his position. I don't have time to play him say yes, but he dances around. But yes, they're going to save him. And because he's helping pass their agenda. I understand again also that the discharge petition was getting a lot more people were signing it, which I don't know how that works. It was going to force him maybe to bring it to the floor. So I understand that Johnson was in a tight spot. And I knew, like I said, that he was going to do this back in December. I knew that this was going to happen, that the Ukraine funding was going to be brought to the floor and it will pass. But I didn't know how he was going to justify it. I didn't know what he was going to use as his excuse. And now I do, because he's been doing multiple interviews talking about why he has decided to bring this to the floor, and you know how he sees Russia as a threat, and we have to support Ukraine and all of that. So now that he's giving us his excuse, I want to dive into that and break down some of the things that Johnson has been saying. But I want to reiterate this. I want to say that it's too late for this November to recruit people to primary these guys, but there needs to be a house cleaning in 2026, and it doesn't matter who wins in November, if it's Trump, if it's Biden. We need to start focusing on cleaning house in Congress in 2026, recruiting people to run in these districts, to primary these guys, just like what happened in 2010, when Eric Cantor and these other high-ranking Republicans got their walking papers. That needs to happen in 2026. This needs to be an organized effort. I was even thinking that that even a pledge, if you guys remember like the Grover Norquist tax pledge that he used to go around getting Congress members to sign, we need to have an America First a Republican pledge with all of the platform issues in there. And we need to go around and we need to get these guys to sign this pledge. And if they violate the pledge, we toss them. If they refuse to sign the pledge, then we don't vote for them. That's the only way to fix this. That's the only way to fix this, is to get organized at the district level, just like in 2010 with the Tea Party, where you had Tea Party groups in every single town, every single small town, meeting, getting together, organizing, recruiting Tea Party candidates to run against these guys. That's how you had that red wave in 2010, where Republicans picked up 63 seats. A lot of good that did for us, again. A lot of good, but again, so that's why you have a pledge. That's why you start weeding these people out. That's why you make an effort. The election, people are saying that the election in November this presidential election is the most important election. It's the most important election. I don't think that's the case. I think that the congressional elections in 2026 are the most important elections of our lifetimes. I don't even think that the election in, because if Trump wins, you're going to need a America First Congress. If Biden wins, you're damn sure you're absolutely going to need a Congress with some backbone. So it doesn't matter who wins in November. We need to focus on 2026. Now, Johnson, this guy, I'm not going to impugn his character or talk. You know, I do think that he is either being blackmailed or threatened. I absolutely do. And I'm going to explain why I do. But this issue of the FISA renewal happened over the last couple of weeks in Congress. They were debating if they were going to renew the FISA, which is what the acronym stands for, but looking at espionage and terrorist activities from foreigners in the United States, or it's supposed to be just foreigners, but you can also spy on people in the United States using a FISA warrant without getting an actual warrant. And it's private, the FISA court and all this stuff. This stuff came about after 9/11. So they just renewed it for 2 years. But if you remember in the 2016 election and the Mueller investigation and the Crossfire Hurricane investigation in the FBI that came after Trump was sworn in, we saw major abuses by the FBI of FISA to spy on Carter Page, to get the renewals to spy on Carter Page, using the dossier to get the FISA warrant, which was complete bogus intelligence that Hillary Clinton had paid for, that was made up by Christopher Steele. All of these abuses in FISA. So when Speaker Johnson, when he was in Congress and not the Speaker, just a member of Congress, he railed against FISA, said that, you know, that it was being abused, that we should get rid of it. But now that he's Speaker, he claims that he went into the SCIF, and the SCIF is this secret room where you go in and they present intelligence to you. And he says that he went into the SCIF and he got some secret intelligence about FISA and why we need FISA, and he changed his opinion. Take a listen to this.
Sherry, I saw all the abuses of the FBI, the terrible abuses over and over and over, the hundreds of thousands of abuses. And then when I became Speaker, I went to the SCIF. And when I was a member of the judiciary, I saw all the abuses of the FBI, the terrible abuses over and over and over, the hundreds of thousands of abuses. And then when I became Speaker, I went to the SCIF and got a confidential briefing from sort of the other perspective on that to understand the necessity of Section 702 of FISA and how important it is for national security. And it gave me a different perspective. So I encourage all the members.
A different perspective? What do you mean a different perspective? So you saw all of these abuses? But then you went to the SCIF and they showed you intelligence, secret intelligence, by the way, not intelligence that they can share with us about why they have to reauthorize FISA, but secret intelligence that it can only be shared with the Speaker of the House in the SCIF. And that is what made him change his opinion on FISA, is what he said.
And then when I became Speaker, I went to the SCIF and got the confidential briefing from sort of the other perspective on that to understand the necessity of Section 702 of FISA and how important it is for national security. And it gave me a different perspective. So I encourage all...
I got a different perspective from the SCIF. At first, I saw all of the abuses and thought all of the abuses were a huge problem. The way that FISA was abused to spy on Trump and his campaign and even his administration in those early months, I saw all those abuses, but then I went to the skiff and I got some new confidential information that showed me how important it was. So what happened in that skiff? A lot happened in that skiff. So this is Speaker Johnson the other night. He gave an interview. He, like I said, he's been doing tons of interviews. I have a couple of them. He's telling his story. Take a listen.
We've included a lot of innovations here. It is different than the Senate's bill. For the Ukraine piece, for example, we've introduced the loan concept, the repo act. So any funding that goes to support the government of Ukraine is converted to a loan. We introduced the repo act, which is the seizure, as you know, of corrupt Russian oligarchs' assets. And that could be used to fund the resistance in Ukraine as well. We have sanctions for Iran and Russia and China, the aggressors who are causing all this problem, the new axis of evil. We have a lot of new changes in here. We have accountability and a strategy shift as well. Because what we've said is that the White House has to provide to Congress within 45 days of this bill being signed into law an actual strategy, a plan to show what is the objective in Ukraine, what is the end game, how are we going to get
Listen to this, listen to this. So, first of all, the new axis of evil. What in the 1984 Orwell is the new axis of evil? Now, if you remember a few podcasts ago, I was playing the clip of Mike Lawler, Mike Johnson, Michael McCall, Mike Turner. He's all these Mikes that are the war hawks that are pushing this in the Republican caucus. And I was playing the clip of Mike Lawler, and he said, Russia, China, and Iran, but he didn't call it an axis of evil. He just said, Russia, China, and Iran are our biggest threats. And I brought to your attention in 2003 when David Frum wrote that line for George Bush in his State of the Union about the axis of evil, and he was talking about North Korea, Iran, and Iraq at that time. So this is the new axis of evil. And this guy is not just saying this one time. He's saying it over and over again. New axis of evil. Take a listen to him.
In it. Because we did this process, we got a better outcome here. We have a lot of innovations that the Senate did not consider. We include the Repo Act, which, as you know, is the use of corrupt Russian oligarchs' assets to help fund the resistance in Ukraine. We introduced the loan concept for the governmental assistance part.
He's repeating it over and over again.
Instead of a gift. We also included some really important sanctions on Russia and China and Iran, which I believe is the new axis of evil, and many of us do, and they are.
And many of us do, which I believe is the new axis of evil, and many of us do. What in the hell is the new axis of evil? Look, people, I don't know if you can see this article. It says, France talks tough on Ukraine while grabbing more Russian gas. France has paid Russia over 600 million euro this year for its liquefied natural gas. New data shows that's an EU leading raise from last year. So France is buying liquefied natural gas from Russia, spending 600 million euro a year given to Russia. But Russia's the axis of evil, huh? Axis of evil. Watch how the Biden administration is defending $6 billion deal with Iran. Republicans have sought to link the $6 billion in unfrozen Iranian funds to this weekend's attacks on Israeli civilians. So not only the $6 billion, Joe Biden has released tons of money to the Iranian government. And he has said that he wants to reinstate the nuclear agreement that Barack Obama did when he delivered pallets of cash to the axis of evil in Tehran, and he did the nuclear deal with them. And then Trump came in and he kiboshed that nuclear deal. Biden has not only unfrozen money to the Axis of Evil, he has said that he wants to reinstate the nuclear deal that Trump put the kibosh on. Axis of Evil. France is buying gas from the Axis of Evil. Biden is unfreezing frozen money to the Axis of Evil and wants to reinstate the nuclear deal with the Axis of Evil. Look at this. This is just in January. Reuters. U.S. does not support Taiwan independence, Biden says. U.S. does not support Taiwan independence. Axis of Evil, huh? Axis of Evil. This is the Axis of Evil. Okay, Mike Johnson. All right. But there's more here that he says that's really interesting. I want you to take a listen.
Repo Act, which is the seizure, as you know, of corrupt Russian oligarchs' assets. And that could be used to fund the resistance in Ukraine as well. We have sanctions for Iran and Russia and China, the aggressors who are causing all this problem, the new Axis of Evil. We have a lot of new changes in here. We have accountability and a strategy shift as well, because what we've said is that the White House has to provide to Congress within 45 days of this bill being signed into law.
Within 45 days of this bill being signed into law, that after we pass this and approve this money, within 45 days, we want the White House to tell us how this money is going to be spent. Why not get them to tell you how it's going to be spent before you approve the money? How about that? Does that make sense to you, or only to me? That getting Biden and getting an understanding of where this money is going to go, how it's going to be used, doing that before you approve this money, wouldn't that make more sense than 45 days after you approve the money? Take a listen to this.
White House has to provide to Congress within 45 days of this bill being signed into law an actual strategy, a plan to show what is the objective in Ukraine, what is the end game, how are we going to get to that, and how are we going to show absolute accountability for the weapon systems and all that. Importantly, people...
I think that would be important to know before you approve this money, clown. I'm sorry. Sorry.
That. And how are we going to show absolute accountability for the weapon systems and all that? Importantly, people need to understand, on the Ukraine piece, for example, 80% of the money that would be allocated in this legislation is for replenishment of our own weapons and stocks.
Listen.
This is something that makes sense. What we're doing is funding America's industrial defense base.
Industrial defense base. What's that? What's the industrial defense base? Huh?
And on the Ukraine piece, for example, 80% of the money that would be allocated in this legislation is for replenishment of our own weapons and stocks. I mean, this is something that makes sense. What we're doing is funding America's industrial defense base.
Building
weapons that we use and that other countries buy from us. And that's what that will go to fund. So there's a lot of other innovations in the bill. We're very anxious to get the assistance to Israel, our dear friend and close ally over there in the Middle East, in the middle of a war for their very... justify their very existence. They need the assistance now, and we should be providing it to them, and that's our intention to do it as quickly as possible. The Indo-Pacific is to face down China, and all these pieces are very, very important. I think it's important to the American people. I think all of the members of Congress will have the opportunity in single subjects to vote their will and their way on that, and then we'll put that together, send it to the Senate, and get those obligations met. I'm going to say this, and then I'll open to questions. This is an important time on the world stage. We live in unprecedented, very challenging times. The world is on fire.
Absolutely.
One of the reasons it's on fire is because we're projecting weakness from this White House on the world stage. And
I'm a Reagan Republican, buddy.
I believe in the concept of peace through the House on the world stage. And I'm a Reagan Republican. I believe in the concept of challenging times. The world is on fire. And one of the reasons it's on fire is because we're projecting weakness from this White House.
It's on fire, buddy, because you are putting fuel on the fire. You're getting ready to pass $61 billion worth of logs to put on the fire in Ukraine. That's what you're doing. That's why the world is on fire. Instead of stomping out the fire and putting out the fire, which means negotiating peace, getting a peace deal and ending the fire, putting the fire out, what you are doing right now, Speaker Johnson, the world is on fire because you're putting more gas on the fire. You're adding more logs to the fire.
On the world stage, and I'm a Reagan Republican. I believe in the concept of peace through strength.
And he pulls that. He does a lot of that in his interviews. Like he's been everywhere and multiple interviews, and he says that in every interview. I'm a Reagan Republican. Peace through strength, bro. We're $35 trillion in debt. Reagan was fighting the Soviet Union. We're not fighting the Soviet Union anymore. Quit bringing up Ronald Reagan and trying to recreate Cold War era feuds when you should be trying to negotiate peace. Care about this Reagan Republican nonsense. We're $35 trillion in debt.
Nation, I think we're the greatest nation in the history of the world.
Wow, we can't be that great with $35 trillion in debt. We can't be strong with $35 trillion in debt. Our biggest national security threat is that debt.
And I believe because of that, we have a very special responsibility. The responsibility of the free world was placed upon the shoulders of America after World War II. It doesn't mean we're the world's policemen. It doesn't mean we should be intervening in conflicts around the world. But it does mean that we have to stand for freedom, and we have to be the beacon of light, and we have to show strength, because the perception of a strong America is good for the entire world.
No, the $35 trillion of debt is not the perception of strength. The rest of the world looks at America that's $35 trillion in debt, and they do not see strength. I'm sorry. China doesn't see strength when they look at our ledger. They do not.
Strength. Because the perception of a strong America is good for the entire world. It's good not just for the security and safety of Americans, but for the security and safety of free people all around the globe. The only thing that has kept terrorists and tyrants at bay is the perception of a strong America, that we would stand strong, and we will. And I think the Congress is going to show that. This is a very important message that we're going to send to the world this week. And I'm anxious to get it done, and I'm glad to get there. A few questions.
Are you
I mean, that's such a, this question, I think, is such a planet question. Why are you willing to lose your job over this? Who asks, what kind of reporter asks a question like that?
Willing to risk losing your job over this Ukraine funding?
Listen, my philosophy is you do the right thing and you let the chips fall where they may. If I operated out of fear over a motion to vacate, I would never be able to do my job. Look, history judges us for what we do. This is a critical time right now, a critical time on the world stage. I could make a selfish decision and do something that's different, but I'm doing here what I believe to be the right thing. I think providing lethal aid to Ukraine right now is critically important. I really do. I really do believe the intel and the.
I really do believe the intel. Now, this is very important. This goes back to the SCIF right here. The SCIF, remember? He got some intel on FISA and the SCIF that made him change his opinion. I got some intel in the SCIF that made me change my opinion on FISA. So now he's saying that he got some intel. I guess he got it in the SCIF when he got the FISA stuff. Listen to what he says.
Thing that that's different, but I'm doing here what I believe to be the right thing. I think providing lethal aid to Ukraine right now is critically important. I really do. I really do believe the intel and the briefings that we've gotten
I really do believe the intel and the briefings that we've gotten. That's what he says. So you guys got some briefings and you got some intel, but you can't share it with us. Just like the FISA stuff. You go into the SCIF and you get some top secret, super duper secret information that makes you have to pass FISA. And it sounds like he got some top secret, super duper information about Russia that he can't share with us. This is what it sounds like, but he believes the intelligence reports.
And the briefings that we've gotten I believe Xi and Vladimir Putin and Iran really are an axis of evil. I think they're in coordination on this. I think that Vladimir Putin would continue to march through Europe if he were allowed.
I think that Vladimir Putin will continue. This is the domino theory that I told you about. Now he's saying it. that I think that Vladimir Putin will roll through Europe, march through Europe if we don't do it. I guess that's what he got in the intelligence report. He got some secret intelligence in the SCIF that told him that Vladimir Putin is going to march through Europe. They can't share it with us, but I got it in the SCIF. That's what he's saying.
I really do. I really do believe the intel and the briefings that we've gotten I believe Xi and Vladimir Putin and Iran really are an axis of evil. I think they're in coordination on this. I think that Vladimir Putin would continue to march through Europe if he were allowed. I think he might go to the Balkans next. I think he might have a showdown with Poland or one of our NATO allies. To put it bluntly, I would rather send bullets to Ukraine than American boys. My son is going to begin in the Naval Academy this fall. This is a live fire exercise for me, as it is so many American families. This is not a game. It's not a joke. We can't play politics with this. We have to do the right thing. And I'm going to allow an opportunity for every single member of the House to vote their conscience and their will on this. And I think that's the way this institution is supposed to work. And I'm willing to take personal risk for that, because we have to do the right thing, and history will judge us.
Yes, sir. You had said LNG was one of your priorities. Is that going to be included in any of these bills? And if not, why did they drop out?
All right, so this is a very important question. So the next question, he says, LNG is one of your top priorities. Is there going to be anything about LNG in this bill? What is LNG, people? LNG is this. LNG is this sweet energy that France has been buying from Russia to the tune of 600 million euro last year. France talks tough on Ukraine while gobbling up more Russian gas. Liquefied natural gas is what LNG stands for. And France is buying natural gas, LNG, from Russia to the tune of 600 million euros. So that's what this question pertains to, LNG. Here, take a listen.
Personal risk for that, because we have to do the right thing, and history will judge us.
Yes, sir. You had said LNG was one of your priorities. Is that going to be included in any of these bills? And if not, why did they drop out?
We've been working on the LNG component because it's so critical to national defense. I'm from an oil and gas state, Louisiana. I mean, energy is a big thing to us. But this is not a parochial issue. It's an important issue for the whole country. When the president issued his executive order to effectively close down our natural gas exports, liquefied natural gas, that did terrible harm to our security. It makes no sense. I've spoken to him about this personally. I asked him personally when I was at the Oval Office, Mr. President, why in the world would you issue an executive order to stop LNG exports, sir? You don't want to fuel Vladimir Putin's war machine, do you? He said, well, no, of course not. Well, but Mr. President, that's exactly what your executive order did. What do you mean? Well, sir, if they can't buy their liquefied natural gas and get it off the coast of Louisiana or Texas, for example, they're going to go to Vladimir Putin for that supply.
They're already going to Vladimir Putin, bro. They're already going to Vladimir Putin. France is buying LNG from Vladimir Putin and spent 600 million euros in the last year on that LNG. What are you talking about? What are you talking about, Speaker Johnson? They're already doing it from the axis of evil. They're buying their gas from the axis of evil already. So what are you talking about here? This is ridiculous.
If they can't buy their liquefied natural gas and get it off the coast of Louisiana or Texas, for example, they're going to go to Vladimir Putin for that supply.
They're already doing
it. That's going to fuel his war machine, and that's going to give him more of what he needs for his aggression
already.
Ukraine. Is this completely counterproductive
already
public policy, national
yeah
security,
it's counterproductive
policy?
It's counterproductive. So why are you going to send Ukraine pass Joe Biden's agenda and send Ukraine another $61 billion? Why, if Joe Biden is acting so irrationally that he would shut down our liquefied natural gas exports and allow France to buy Russia's, that should tell you everything. Why are you dumping another $61 billion down the drain? Do you not know this? How do I know this and you don't know this as Speaker of the House? It's ridiculous. And then my favorite part, let's see. He says it, and I'm going to.
public policy, national security, foreign policy? I don't understand it. Sir, rescind the executive order. I'm not even sure currently that he even understands the full implications.
It doesn't sound like you do either.
We've been pushing. The LNG is part of the national security concept and philosophy here because energy security is national security, and we cannot allow Vladimir Putin and Iran to be supplying oil and gas to Europe. That is not good for the stability of the region.
And this is what doesn't make sense. This isn't what didn't make sense because you just said, this is what, so I'm breaking this all down for you people. Because he just said that he believes the intelligence reports that he got in the SCIF. I got intelligence reports in the SCIFs, the secret, top secret, super duper secret, top secret intelligence reports that I believe that tell me that Russia is going, if we don't stop them in Ukraine, they're going to march through Europe and invade Europe. What are you talking about? Europe's their biggest customers. Why would Vladimir Putin pay to lay down the Nord Stream 2 pipeline so he could sell them this sweet natural gas that he has and has been selling them to his biggest customers? What benefit is it of Russia's to march through Europe and they're buying his natural gas? This is why Joe Biden had to blow up the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, or Russia would be supplying a lot more of this gas to Europe. That's why he blew up the pipeline. But they still have means to transport this gas to France, and France is buying it up. France probably not the only. This report is only because France is spending the most amount of money, if you go through the article. But there's other countries in Europe that are buying natural gas from Russia. They're his biggest customers. So this can't be true. Either the information that you got in the SCIF, Speaker Johnson, is BS, and you were fed a bunch of BS intelligence. I mean, that has to be the case. It's not an either. That has to be the case, that you were fed a bunch of BS in the SCIF, because there's no evidence at all that Russia wants to roll through Europe. The only evidence that I see is that Russia wants to sell more gas to Europe. And then, here, let me play Marjorie Taylor Greene. She says, listen to what she says about the secret, top secret, super duper intelligence that he got in the SCIF. Listen to what she says.
I'm going to issue a challenge to Mike McCall and Mike Johnson and everyone.
All the mics.
If you have proof that Vladimir Putin is going to march across Europe, going to go all the way to Kiev, take Poland next, and then keep on going, unclassify it. Declassify that proof and show it to the American people. Prove to the American people
why should we trust
that they
you?
Need to send their hard-earned money over there. Prove it. I
why should we
to
trust
prove
you?
It because you do not have the proof. And they're not capable of showing it, Steve.
No, there is no proof. There is no evidence. There's no evidence that you saw in the SCIF, you know, that shows that Vladimir Putin has any intention of rolling through Europe. That's a lie that you saw in the SCIF. And like Marjorie Taylor Greene says here, if you want us to believe the intelligence that you believe, top secret, super duper intelligence that you got in the SCIF, then you need to declassify it. Because why should we trust you? Why should we trust you? I remember very clearly. I remember very clearly. The top secret super duper intelligence that said Saddam Hussein had a nuclear program and weapons of mass destruction. I remember that top secret super duper intelligence. They can't share with you, but trust us. Trust us that Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction and an ongoing nuclear program.
They lied.
Okay.
They said there were weapons of mass destruction. There were none. And they knew there were none.
So, anyway, I have another clip here, too, that I want to show you guys. They told us that Saddam had an ongoing nuclear program and that
those weapons of mass destruction.
Hold on. Let me show you. They had an ongoing nuclear program and that, yeah, weapons of mass destruction. And then there were no weapons of mass destruction, no nuclear program. We spent $5 trillion in Iraq, lost thousands of soldiers, not even including Iraqis. And then George Bush goes to the correspondents' dinner a few years later and jokes about no weapons of mass destruction.
Those weapons of mass destruction got to be somewhere.
And then all the press, all the prostitutes start laughing.
Nope, no weapons over there. Maybe under here.
I mean, it's just shameful. It's absolutely shameful. So no, Speaker Johnson, you may believe the information that you got in the SCIF, the top secret super duper intelligence, but we don't believe it. And if you have that intelligence, then you need to declassify it. But he doesn't have it at all. He doesn't have it. Marjorie Taylor Greene goes in. Let's listen to this whole
thing. I'm going to issue a challenge to Mike McCall and Mike Johnson and everyone. If you have proof that Vladimir Putin is going to march across Europe, going to go all the way to Kiev, take Poland next, and then keep on going, unclassify it. Declassify that proof and show it to the American people. Prove to the American people why they need to send their hard-earned money over there. Prove it. I dare you to prove it because you do not have the proof. And they're not capable of showing it, Steve. This is the biggest, most repulsive scam, and it's been happening for decades, and it's all they claim to protect American jobs and to keep the military-industrial base going and employed, and it's all for our economy. This is not an economy anybody wants. We don't want an economy built on people's blood and dead bodies in foreign countries.
Absolutely.
We want an America first economy. And from now on, Steve, we are going to demand it from our Republican leaders. I don't care if the Speaker's office becomes a revolving door. If that's exactly what needs to happen, then let it be.
Absolutely.
But the days are over of the old Republican Party that wants to fund foreign wars and murder people in foreign lands while they stab the American people in their face and refuse to protect Americans and fix our problems over here.
Absolutely. So I've never really been a huge fan of Marjorie Taylor Greene, but she has been killing it the past few days, and I co-sign everything she says in this clip 100%. We need to send this woman and those like her some help in 2026. Because this is just pathetic. Now, I want you to listen to this part. I only have a few more minutes. This was a very interesting part of the story that Speaker Johnson is telling for why he is supporting this aid to Ukraine. I want you to listen to this.
Another player here that we haven't talked about, Donald Trump, who you support for president. Mm-hmm. I want to play some of what he said last night when he was asked if he plans to protect you from any sort of motion to dispose of you by the far right. Take a listen.
President, how should Israel
protect Speaker Johnson?
Well, we'll see what happens with that. I think he's a very good
person.
We'll see what happens with that. I think he's a very good person. Have you talked to Trump about this plan, this legislative plan, in terms of how you're introducing these foreign aid bills? And ultimately, will he have your back?
Oh, I think he will. I was just with him on Friday down at Mar-a-Lago, and we had dinner together, and my wife was with me, and we had a great visit. We talked about a lot of things, all the politics going on in the country, and he said at a press conference we had there together that I'm doing a very good job, and he supports me and all of that. Listen, I think this is all going to work out. I think it's going to be fine. I did tell the president the plan on all of this, and I think he clearly understands why we're running this play and why we need to do this. I think this sets up the next election, the next administration, the next president, and I believe he's going to win in a better position. I think that President Trump is strong enough that he could enter the world stage and broker a peace deal.
Wow. Listen to what he's saying. He thinks that Trump can come in and broker a peace deal, that there's a peace deal that can be brokered. That's what he says. So he makes it sound like that's what he supports, that we're going to pass this $61 billion, but it sets up Trump for when he comes in to negotiate peace. Well, if peace is what you support, you have the power right now. You can force Joe Biden to negotiate peace. It doesn't have to be wait for Trump to come in and show this strength to negotiate a peace deal. You can do it right now. You have a, if you support peace, why are you waiting for Trump? Why are you waiting for Trump to come in and negotiate peace?
Great visit. We talked about a lot of things, all the politics going on in the country. And he said at a press conference we had there together that I'm doing a very good job and he supports me and all of that. Listen, I think this is all going to work out. I think it's going to be fine. I did tell the president the plan on all of this, and I think he clearly understands why we're running this play and why we need to do this. I think this sets up the next election, the next administration, the next president, and I believe he's going to win in a better position. I think that President Trump is strong enough that he could enter the world stage and broker a peace deal in Ukraine if Russia is still advancing at that time. I mean, I think he has the strong enough hand to be able to do that, and that's why this election is so important. There's a very stark contrast. We didn't have all these global conflicts. We didn't have hot wars around the globe when Donald Trump was the president. You know why? Because our adversaries feared him and respected him. They don't fear and respect Joseph Biden, and that's a real problem for all of us.
So it's ridiculous. So he sounds like he says that Trump can come in and negotiate peace. He can be that strong leader. You can force Joe Biden to negotiate a peace deal right now. Because if you didn't pass this, if you support peace, then you wouldn't be passing $61 billion or putting it, even bringing it up for a vote to pass $61 billion to send to Ukraine to put more gas on the fire, because that's not going to get peace. It's just going to get more war. And he's right that if Donald Trump comes in, then he's going to negotiate a peace deal. This is back to the article from the Washington Post. We talked about it 2 weeks ago that Donald Trump already has a peace plan. And the peace plan is exactly what Elon Musk tweeted out over a year ago. The peace plan is that Russia is going to get the territory that has been annexed. And the reason that they're going to get that territory is because those people don't want to be part of Ukraine anymore. The people of Crimea don't want to be part of Ukraine. The people in Donbass don't want to be part of Ukraine. Russia has annexed that territory, and that territory is going to be Russia's. And that's going to be the peace deal. You remember I played the clip of the author of that article on MSNBC, and that's what he says.
And as when he was president the first time, he sees an opportunity. He thinks if, based on the force of his charisma and his negotiating skills, if he gets both sides in a room, he can make a deal. They can have a splashy announcement, and the details are not exactly what he's focused on.
And his plan, we should be clear, is to do something Zelensky is not for, to give up parts of Ukraine.
Right. Zelensky has said under no circumstances will he agree to territorial concessions. Trump is privately talked. Well, publicly, what he says is, you know, I could solve this in 24 hours, even before I take office, but I'm not going to tell you how. It's a secret. And what we were able to figure out through people that he's shared this with privately is that the idea is basically he thinks that some territory, specifically Crimea and the Donbass border region, he could see Ukraine giving that to Russia and the war would end.
All right. So, and that's the plan that Elon Musk tweeted out, that those regions would be part of Russia and then the war could end. They both say here that this is something that Zelensky doesn't want. But after this article came out, Zelensky came out and says, listen, look at this. Zelensky says he will listen to Trump's ideas to end the war in Ukraine with pleasure. And this is after the article came out in the Washington Post letting you know what Trump's plan is. Trump's plan is Crimea and Donbass will belong to Russia and the war will end. And Zelensky says they will listen to Trump's ideas with pleasure. Why isn't Joe Biden doing this right now? Why isn't Joe Biden negotiating this deal right now? This is what Russia says. Putin's Kremlin responds to Donald Trump's Ukraine peace plan. This is what Russia says. We have seen reports on this, but so far no initiatives have been announced by Donald Trump. So all of this is secret now because this is the Washington Post assuming what Donald Trump will do. And that's what the two sides, it says. Russia is saying, you know, this sounds good, but we haven't seen anything yet. Zelensky says, I'll listen to this plan with pleasure. We just need someone to negotiate it. Why isn't Joe Biden negotiating it? And why isn't Speaker Johnson, if he believes that a peace is the objective, why isn't he forcing Joe Biden to do it? Why is he greenlighting Joe Biden's agenda to send more gas on the fire? What I think Trump needs to do is he needs to come out with a speech, and he needs to say clearly what is in this Washington Post article is his plan, and he needs to call for peace. That's what I think he should do. Anyway, that's all the time. I've gone over a little bit more than what I wanted to, but I hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll get into Nixon, hopefully, on Monday. I hope you guys have a great weekend. I'll see you on Monday.